If you have your scriptures with you, turn to Luke 14. We're in Luke 14. We're going to look at verses 12 through 24 this morning. If one of the pew Bibles around you, it's page 874. Let me pray. Father, we do thank you for this time to worship, and that we would have hearts and lives that would serve to honor you and to love one another. And so, Lord, we pray you continue to minister to our hearts and our minds to help us to understand and to apply these things to our lives. Lord, as we look into your word this morning, this idea of excuses, Lord, we pray that you would awaken us and consider our thoughts and our minds in our relationship to you, and what you call us to do, and the false excuses that we create in our thoughts of why we don't. And so, Lord, we pray that you would minister to our hearts, that you would pour your conviction, that your renewal, Lord, into our lives. Lord, we need your grace. And so, Lord, we pray that you would speak to us and teach to us these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week, the last couple weeks, to give us some context of what's going on in our message this morning, we're in the midst of some teaching that Jesus is doing while he's a dinner guest at a Pharisee's house. If you recall, a few weeks ago, he was at a Pharisee's house eating dinner, and he healed a man with dropsy. And he asked them, is it good to do healing on the Sabbath? And they wouldn't answer him, so he healed the man, and reminding them that he is Lord of the Sabbath, and to do good and to heal on the Sabbath is good. After that healing, Jesus notices others coming to the dinner, and they're rushing around to find the best seats in the house. They want to be in the best seats of honor, and Jesus shared a parable with them about humility, of what humility should be before others and before God, before we think we deserve the best seats in the house. And Jesus ended the parable by saying, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And so we're still in the midst of this conversation, in the midst of this teaching, where we jump in verse 12 here as he's having this discussion with this group at this banquet, at this dinner. And he says in Luke 14, verse 12, he said also to the man who invited him, when you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast and invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you'll be blessed, because they can't repay you. You'll be repaid at the resurrection of the just. When one of those who reclined at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. But he said to him, a man once gave a great banquet, and he invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. For the first said to him, I bought a field. I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. And the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. And the servant said, sir, what you have commanded has been done, and still there's room. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet. This ends the reading of God's holy, inerrant word. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the word and the Spirit say today. Let's say that you lived in a land of a mighty king. And you owed this king not $100, not $1,000, but you actually owed this king $10 trillion. Because each day of your life, you've been breaking the laws of the land and you're incurring debt. And each day that you live, the debt that you owe keeps increasing and increasing, making it impossible for you to ever pay it off yourself. Now let's say the same king, he's patient with you. He's still kind to you. He loves to bless you, and he wonderfully loves upon you. And let's say this king has provided a way to pay your debt, your past, future, and present debt forever, removing it, that he will take care of it, take care of all of it. And this king invites you to a banquet to receive this blessing, to celebrate this truth of radical grace and overflowing joy. How would you respond to that invitation? Would you go? Would you perhaps say at the invitation that you'll go, but when it's time to go, you don't really want to go? Would you ignore and reject such a great invitation because it seems unbelievable to you? Perhaps you just want to reject it, thinking that you continue to live by breaking the laws of the land, presuming upon his patience of the king, presuming upon his love, thinking that he'll never require payment for your debt. Would you go if you were invited to such a banquet? To have the debt removed and to enjoy a blessed relationship with the king. And this is what Jesus is challenging us with today. As we consider him, as we consider our debt of sin, what will we do with the invitation of God in Christ Jesus? We'll be going through Luke, and we see that we've been receiving this glorious invitation from the king, and it's unwise to refuse it. We see first that God offers a welcoming invitation to the empty-handed. He says in verse 12, when you have a dinner, when you have a banquet, don't invite your friends, don't invite your brothers or your relatives, lest they invite you and repay you, but invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you'll be blessed because they can't repay you. And you'll be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Jesus, who still wants to deal with the Pharisees' pride while at this dinner party, wants to help them understand what godlike hospitality looks like, what godlike love looks like, what godlike blessings look like. You see, they were all too impressed with themselves, with their perceived righteousness, with their perceived goodness, with their perceived generosity. And Jesus is basically telling them, you don't even come close to the goodness and love that God requires of his people. Now, Jesus isn't saying outright that you can't have a dinner party with your family and your friends, but he's challenging their notion of being and doing good, and challenging their ideas of what gracious and godlike hospitality looks like. Jesus could read their hearts. Most of the time, we will help others while expecting help in return. The old saying, I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine. It's like us saying to others, I invited you to lunch last month, or I gave you a call, or I helped you out. How about you return the favor? And what Jesus is saying, when you do that, you're not really loving and carrying on the other people that you did that to. You're just being gracious to them for the benefit that you will get from it. He said, when you have a feast, if you want to be good and gracious like God and invite the poor, invite the crippled, the lame and the blind, then you'll receive the benediction. You'll receive the blessedness because they can't repay you. You're starting to act like Jesus. He's challenging the Pharisees and us about our motives and how to love others. But he's also pointing us to how God sees us in our sin. He sees us covered with filth, with sin, that we are crippled and blind and lame. And yet God says, come. Come to this great banquet that I have for you. He invites us to come knowing that we're empty-handed with nothing to bring except for our sin. We are the spiritually poor. We are the spiritually crippled. We are the spiritually lame and blind. And yet God graciously says, come to a banquet I have for you. Come all you who are heavy laden and burdened, and I'll give you rest. City of Light has a song called Good and Gracious King, and they write, I approach the throne of glory with nothing in my hands I bring but the promise of acceptance from a good and gracious King. God offers a welcoming invitation to us who are empty-handed of anything good. Isaiah 35, verse 3, he says, strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God, and he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of mute sing for joy. Not only is he talking about physical restoration, but spiritual restoration as well. Jesus says to you and to me, the undeserving, the lost, the crippled, the blind, to come. Come to this glorious banquet that I have for you. I can remove all the debt of your sin. You can receive grace, you can receive mercy, you can receive blessedness. He just simply says, surrender the pride and come. The invitation we see in point two is to enter a blessed fellowship for all eternity. In verse 15 it says, when one of those who reclined at the table with him heard these things, he said, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. It's the second benediction in our passage today. We're not sure why this man said this, but after Jesus talked about being rewarded at the resurrection at the end of the time, this man says, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. And it's a true statement. If you're taking notes, maybe write down Isaiah 25, verses 6 to 9. Isaiah 25, 6 to 9, and hear these promises. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all the peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, a rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well-refined. He will swallow up on this mountain the covering that has cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. The invitation is to enter into a blessed, eternal glory and fellowship. It's glorious and it's festive with the triune God and our brothers and sisters in the Lord who have gone on before us. It's the grand reunion, better than any wedding reception or family reunion you can ever imagine. He says, on that day, death will be swallowed up. Death will be no more. Like the kid who grabs the last cookie and swallows it before you can grab it, God will swallow death and it will be no more. Tears will be wiped away and reproaches, condemnation removed. And we'll say, this is our God. We waited for Him. Oh, we waited for Him. This is our Lord. Let's be glad and rejoice in His salvation. Today is Palm Sunday, and Jesus entered Jerusalem on a donkey as its king. And He's entering as a sacrificial lamb. He's entering in His passive obedience, where He'll willfully lay down His life to secure our freedom from sin, from guilt, to atone for our sin, and to give us eternal life. Like a lamb to the slaughter, He will not open His mouth. He'll do everything necessary to pay the sin debt and secure our blessedness. Just days after Palm Sunday, where the people are shouting and praising Him, He's in the Garden of Gethsemane with great distress, sweating drops of blood, knowing that He will drink that cup. He will swallow that cup of God's wrath. He'll be betrayed with a kiss for merely just 30 pieces of silver. He'll be abandoned by His friends. His closest disciple will act like he never even knew Jesus. Jesus will go through three courts being unjustly condemned. The people of the city will cry out, "Crucify Him," even though He's done beautiful things, beautiful teachings and beautiful healings and loved. Despite all those things, He would be mocked, spit upon, beaten and whipped, crowned with thorns, stripped naked, crucified, and undergo the wrath of God for our sins. And He did this for us, be able to eat at this banquet, to eat bread in the kingdom of God, so that you could say, that you who put trust in Him, "Behold, this is our God. We have waited for Him. Let us be glad and rejoice in His salvation." Jesus says, "Come. Come enter into this blessed fellowship of eternal glory. Don't wait. Just come. And don't let any excuse keep you from coming." He continues, he says, "A man once had a great banquet and invited many. And at the time of the banquet, he sent his servant, saying to those who had been invited, 'Come, everything is now ready.'" Back then, they didn't have the wedding invitations. They didn't have the cell phones to send a text or the mail, right? They would go out a few days ahead of time and say, "Hey, we're having this great feast. Can you come?" And they would get a head count, because they had to know how many animals to slaughter, how much food to prepare, how many crops that they would need. And so people would respond, "Yes, I can come." And so they had a head count, and they would start slaughtering the animals and making the food. And then when everything was ready, they would send his servants out again and say, "Everything's ready." Like we tell our kids, right? "Dinner's ready, come to the table." They would go out and tell those people who were invited, who said that they would come, "It's ready, come." And we see some of the excuses that they started to make. He says, "I have bought a field. I must go out and see it. Please have me excused." Who goes out and buys a field without seeing it first? Another one says, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused." Who doesn't examine the oxen first before you purchase them? And then the other one, I just don't get it all. I have married my wife and I can't come. It's just all kinds of excuses, one after another, after another. The people who said that they were coming, meaning that in this instance, Israel who had the covenant, who had the promises, who had the prophets. Jesus the Messiah is standing right before him. He's saying, "It's ready. The sacrificial lamb is here. It's time. Look to the King Messiah." And the people are making all excuses. They didn't come. "I bought a field. I got to go see it. I bought some ox. I got to go look at them. I got married and I can't come." horrible excuses, lies for rejecting a Messiah, for rejecting a king that can give them so much blessing to take care of their sin debt. They come up with excuses. And so the Master calls out to the Gentile nations and to the ends of the earth, and he says, tell them to come. Tell them to come. What excuses are holding you back from Jesus? What excuses for you who are following Jesus are you using to hold you back from what he's calling you to do? Philip Ryken, he writes, people often offer the same lame excuses that people made in this parable. God is not important to them as their own interests. They're too busy pursuing their earthly entertainments. They are tied up with their commitments at work. They have family and friends that pull them from the church. They say they have no time for God, at least not right now, but whatever excuses they come up with, the real reason for their rude rejection of Christ is simply they don't want to come to him. What is your excuse? Our passage says, reminds us not to wait before the opportunity will not be offered forever. In verse 24, he says, I tell you, none of those men who are invited will taste my banquet. Rather than being blessed, they will be cursed for all eternity. Jesus says, don't make excuses to turn from your sin and to turn to Christ. Don't regret it. Paul Tripp, in one of his devotionals, as he's praying a prayer, he writes, Lord, I wish I could say I asked you, but I didn't. Lord, I wish I could say I reached for you, but it didn't happen. I wish I had thought that I needed your help, Lord, but in my mind I was elsewhere. Lord, I wish I had sought your wisdom, but I saw myself as wise. Lord, I wish I had leaned on you, but I thought I had strength to stand up straight. Lord, I wish I had cast myself on your grace, but in the mirror I looked like someone who didn't need your grace. Lord, I wish I had begun each day with you, but I was too busy. Lord, I wish I had ended the night with you, but I was too tired. Lord, I wish I had spent more time in your word, but I had other things to do. Lord, I wish I had looked ahead to the pathway I couldn't traverse alone, but I was focused on doing it alone. Don't regret. Don't make excuses for not turning to Christ. He's the King who offers great blessing. He's the King who offers forgiveness. He's the King who offers eternal life. He's the King who will shepherd you all the days of your life. And it's only through Jesus to enter this banquet that he invites us to enter his fellowship, to enter his glory. It's only through Christ, being covered by his robes of righteousness, knowing that we cannot pay the debt, but he has paid it in full. Approach the throne of glory. Approach King Jesus with nothing in your hands but sin that you must turn from. Receive the promise of full acceptance from a good and gracious King. And say, behold, this is my God. I have waited for him that he might save me. This is the Lord. I have waited for him. I am glad and I rejoice in my salvation. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray for forgiveness for our excuses. Whether it's turning to you for the first time or walking in obedience in our sanctification. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would shine the light of your truth on excuses that we make. That we would see them for what they are and turn from them and turn to you. Lord, you are a good and gracious King. Help us to understand that and believe that and trust you by faith. to trust you by faith alone. Pray these things in your mighty name. Amen.